Hey, thanks for joining us. You're listening to Living Fountains with Pastor Jim Stewart of Calvary Chapel, Kansas City. Today, we're in the New Testament, in the book of John. If you're in a place to grab your Bible and follow along with us, we invite you to do so. And if you'd like more information on Living Fountains or Calvary Chapel, Kansas City, you can visit our website at calvarychapelkc.com. Now, let's join Pastor Jim for today's study.
What a great thing. We finished Luke's gospel and getting into John's gospel this morning. John's emphasis as we go through his gospel is the deity of Jesus Christ, that he is God. And the Gnostic heresy was going pretty strong by the time John had started his writings. He spends quite a bit of his time in 1 John kind of dealing with some of that. The belief was that all flesh or all material matter is evil. And so therefore, God could not be incarnate in the person of man because therefore he would be evil. And so God was just a vapor in that sense, that it was more of, you know, the Gnostics would say that he walked on the shore of Galilee, but left no footprint in the mud. You know, that's kind of the concept. And so all cults, that one of the main things that they strip away is the deity of the person of Jesus Christ. It's not that they don't use the name of Jesus Christ or they don't talk about Jesus Christ, but they strip away his deity. We believe as we go through the Word that the Word of God declares that he is both fully God and fully man. So we believe in the deity of the person of Jesus Christ. And we'll talk about that a little bit further this morning. But John, in his writing here, in anywhere between 70 and maybe 90 AD, during that time period that this gospel was written, he's very clear in emphasizing that Jesus is God. Beyond any question or any other thought, Jesus is God. That's an issue that needs to be settled. For all of us, that's an issue you got to make sure you're clear on, and that you know that you know that you know, because everything else kind of fits together around that, obviously. But before we get too far into this, why don't you turn to John's gospel and then go to the very last chapter, as any good dyslexic person would do. In verse 24 and 25, John says this. This is the disciple in verse 24, so chapter 21. Gospel of John. This is the disciple who testifies of these things and wrote these things, that we know that his testimony is true. And there are also many other things that Jesus did, which if they were written one by one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that would be written. So be it. Wow, what a powerful statement at the conclusion of his writings. John did not set out by the wrapping up of what he's written. He did not set out to write this full, complete documentation of everything that transpired in Jesus' life on this earth in his 33 years. He did not set out to write everything down that went on. But he selectively chose certain things that emphasized who the person of Jesus really was. And this is all via the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit ministered to John to write these specific miracles down, for example. 7 or 8 miracles that are testified of in the Gospel of John. That main emphasis, again, the person of Jesus Christ as God. And so, as we see, as we go through this, even though he could have written tons of other stuff and the world couldn't contain all of the books written about Jesus, John selectively. So I figure if the Holy Spirit selectively chose, I'm going to listen up, I'm going to tune in, I want to know what John has to say. This is the disciple who refers to himself as the disciple whom Jesus loved. This is a guy that just spent his time just hanging out with them. Sons of thunder. You got James and John, the brothers. This is a guy who was, you know, pretty wound up, wound a little bit tight in his early years. Want him and his brother want to call down fire from heaven and just wipe everybody out, you know? Well, if they don't want to believe in you, let's just kill them, you know? I mean, this is just, that's just the kind of guys these were. So I think it's great when you all of a sudden you find out as you get toward the end of his life that, man, he is just, there's hope is my point. There's hope for us that God's changing, he's transforming us, and that zeal that we have, as it turns out, is that passion that we have for God converts into that wonderful love that exudes. I mean, sometimes he would get up in his latter years at 100 years old, and that's all he would say is just love one another. You know, people would be gathered together like this, and this, he'd just get up to a body of believers and just say, just love one another. You know, what a great message he shared. But it was from knowing his friend, his Lord, his Savior, Jesus Christ, that he got all this information. In chapter 20, verse 31 of this same gospel, we find what he declares as his reason, actually, for writing. So chapter 20. Verse 31, but these things are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. What a great summation, huh? Verse 31 is really the core scripture for what is going on in this whole gospel that he's written. And that believing you may have life in his name, that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. In the beginning, John 1:1, was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. This wonderful, divine logos, the Word. So it's the creative power of God, logos, the divine creative power of God, and also the divine wisdom of God, all put together in word form. You know, and this is interesting as we go through. Again, we have to talk about these things as we touch on these, and we come across them from time to time as we go through the Bible, so we have to mention them from time to time. But in our travels through the Old Testament recently, one of the things that we discovered was all other religious groups or all other societies, all the pagan societies, all of the societies of the world, all the people groups of the world were image-driven. They had these gods that they worshipped, idols. They were image-driven people. And Israel, the nation Israel, the people of God, and God's people today as Christians, we are to be word-driven. In other words, our association with our God is based on his word, his communication to us. And as he communicates to us, that is what we are to worship. The word is what we are to honor in our lives. And you think, well, the Word, how do you worship the Word? Well, as we get into it a little bit further, we'll get a little clearer picture on it as we go through it. I think one of the great things that John's heart in writing this is that God really can be known by men. That God really can be known. And that was part of that chapter, you know, 20, verse 31, as he kind of wraps that thought up. And he's known through his Son, the Word. Jesus is the Word of God. And we'll get into that a little bit further. Revelation, I just want to read this to you out of chapter 19. Revelation 19, verse 13. Some of you who've been with us in Midtown might remember this. As we see heaven opened and a white horse, and he who sat on it was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he judges and makes war. His eyes are like a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no one knew except himself. He was clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called, and in verse 13, the Word of God. This is Jesus himself showing up on the scene, ready to deal with the Christ-rejecting world at its conclusion. And he comes in, and he is the Word of God. Jesus, the Word of God. Real important for us to note that and make clear understanding in our heads about, man, He is the Word. So your relationship to the Word starts making a little bit different. It's a little bit different than what we might have thought, other than just ink on paper, and I kind of read through this, and wow, I kind of feel warm and fuzzy once in a while, and maybe God talks to me sometimes. But it is God communicating to us in the form of His Son through the written Word. In the beginning was that Word, and the Word was with God. So this Word, Jesus Christ, isn't something that, again, is this backup plan. Jesus has been with the Father from the very beginning, throughout all time and eternity, forever and ever, before, after, and in between. He's forever. He's God. And He was with God from the very beginning. And the Word, Jesus Christ, was God. This is something that has to be settled, that Jesus, the Word, is God. That deity aspect, he doesn't pull any punches. He jumps right out of the chute with it, doesn't he? Let's get this settled before we go any further here, is kind of the thought. Let's make this statement, this declaration very clear that Jesus is God. He is the Word. He is incarnate and walked this earth, and He has been from the very beginning. In Psalm 33, beginning with verse 6, we find this creative power being declared. Oh my. You know, to go through and discuss the things concerning the Word throughout the Word, we could spend a long time if we sat and read the 119th Psalm, for example, as it declares all of the grandeur and the glory of God's Word. Great devotional reading. You can take that as an assignment for extra credit for next week. Read through the 119th Psalm, man. Just browse through it. Take your time. Soak it in. Enjoy it. It's all the declaration of the glory of who God is and His Word. You realize the Word He holds above His name? And at the name of God, that name, every time they would come to it and the scribes would begin to write, they would have to change their clothes on every little mark that they would make. They'd have to go and change their clothes and wash and bathe and carry on and then come back and another little mark and go back and do it all the way through. Writing out the name of God. And God holds His Word above His name. Verse 6 of Psalm 33. By the word of the Lord, this divine logos, the heavens were made, and all the host of them by the breath of His mouth. He gathers the waters of the sea together as a heap. He lays up the deep in storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of Him. Verse 9, for He spoke and it was done. He commanded and it stood fast. Wow. Who is it that we are divinely connected with? The person of God in His Son, the Word. Who is it that we are, that He is so powerful that He can just speak? You see, at the conclusion of all of this, when you get through the end of Revelation and you find out that everything is settled by the Word. He speaks the Word and the battle's over. It's done. The Word slays all those that are in opposition. All the armies that have amassed themselves in the Valley of Megiddo, the Battle of Armageddon, it's settled by the Word that comes forth from the person of Jesus Christ. How powerful is your God and my God? How wonderful, how awesome. Go for a walk in the dark, in the woods. Get out there and just look at the stars. Man, this time of year, it starts getting really, really pretty. And it's just this huge canopy of stars. And you think, wow, He spoke all this into being. Every once in a while, I flick through and I hit the NASA channel, you know, and they don't have much going on there usually. So they, especially in the middle of the night, there's just not much happening at all. They've got the charts going where the space, you know, shuttle is connected to the, you know, station, and it's floating around. You can watch that. It's kind of this weird circular looking thing. And then, but what's really cool is they'll do these pictures sometimes of the Earth from space. Isn't that a great shot? You guys have seen it, you know, just these pictures of the Earth from outer space. It's just kind of, it's such a beautiful planet, isn't it? Really, with the blues and the browns and the cloud covers that are there. And, you know, this is perfectly designed for you and I. It's got perfect amount of gravitational pull. It's perfectly designed. Just the right balance so that there's enough oxygen here on this earth for us to walk and live. I mean, we don't think much about it. We just kind of live here and just kind of have our lives here. But we don't really think about how awesome it was that this was just spoken into being. Just the word was delivered and it happened. My, what a powerful force our God is. The creative power of that divine logos. You know, the Greeks had this similar thing that they would use as and a similar word for it, that, and they would use it to describe that creative force that's in the universe and that force of wisdom throughout the universe. And they had a similar word that they would use to describe the same truth that we find written in God's word, declaring the divine logos. The power that's there in the spoken word and the written word, the person of Jesus Christ, the word of God. See, from the very beginning in Genesis 1:1, God was there. Jesus was there. This is that divine logos that spoke it all into being. What a powerful thought. Proverbs, let me see if this is the right one. I do not believe so. We may have to bypass the Proverbs one for a moment. But anyhow, in Proverbs, we have this same thing, the wisdom as it's declared of God, and that same divine logos that was there from the very beginning. What a powerful truth for us to embrace and to know. In the beginning was the Word, that creative power, the Word, and all the wisdom that's contained therein. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. No distinction. Again, that idea from the very beginning. He was in the beginning with God. There was no separation. We know that when we read from the beginning in Genesis chapter 1, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. We talk about it. We joke about it a little bit. It's no joke to me, but I say it in a funny way sometimes. But the reality is, if you can get over the hurdle of Genesis 1:1, you're home free of the rest of the Bible. You know, if you can believe that in the beginning, God, and it is Elohim. This is a plural form of the person of God. This is not singular. It's not just dual, but it is in a plural, three or more. So it's the three, the triune Godhead, found in from the very first verse of the Bible. And we find there, in the beginning, God, Elohim, that triune Godhead, created singularly the heavens and the earth. All are connected. All are one. And hard to grasp, hard to grab in this finite mind, the infinite God. But he was in the beginning with God. So, not only is he God, but he's there from the very beginning with God. All things were made through him. And without him, nothing was made that was made. This is, again, John describing the person of the Son, Jesus, as the living Word. And that he was the one that spoke all of this into being as part of the Godhead. And that he is God. He was with God from the very beginning as God. And that all things that were made through him. And without him, nothing was made that was made. Colossians chapter 1, Paul makes the same statement, basically. Colossians chapter 1. And if you want to just jot these down, you can also grab the CD later if you want, or go on and download it, but you can get this information again and go back through it. But in verse 13, speaking of Jesus, he has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we have redemption through his blood and the forgiveness of sins. Verse 15, he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he may have preeminence, that he may have that rightful place of rule and reign above all. Wow, you know, a lot said in that. In verse 17 it says, and he is before all things, and in him all things consist. That word consist really means held together. He's the glue, basically. He's what keeps it all together. The Bible declares that as if his hands were holding everything together like this, and if he just let go, it would just implode. Think about that. Your heartbeat, your breathing, is not even entrusted to you. See, because if you'd fall asleep and forget about it, you'd forget to breathe, you'd forget to tell your heart to beat, but God hasn't even trusted that to you. How great is our God, this thought about this, and to just dwell on that and to think on that. How awesome, how wonderful is our God. Look at this. I mean, just in a few verses, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him, nothing was made that was made. So conclusive just in that. And yet we wonder, and we question, and we doubt, and we ask all these silly things, trying to figure out, well, I don't really know, you know. I'm not really sure. And we start wondering and questioning God. We give ourselves such liberty. You see, God is God, with or without me, and God is God, with or without you. God is still God, but you and I benefit greatly. Greatly. We get everlasting life. We get a life worth living, and yet we pout and whine and moan because everything's not just in our world. It's just not going exactly our way. Man, you get over that hurdle, everything goes pretty good in life when you just accept that God knows best for you. And that he has a divine, wonderful plan for you. And that, you know what? He can speak things into being for your life too and for mine. God can deal with our problems if we will allow him to have them. And you know what? Sometimes dealing with them is carrying you and me through those difficulties and those issues. Letting us work through them often can be really what God's desire is to do in a situation.
Hi, this is Pastor Jim. Thanks for listening today. I know as God's word goes out, it accomplishes the purposes for which he sent it. And I know that sometimes we hear a message like today's message and the Lord really starts to tug on our hearts. And if God's tugging on your heart and you've not been walking with the Lord and you want to get close with the Lord or you want to start a new life with Jesus, it's just a simple prayer away. You know, Jesus said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. You know, without the Lord, we're already perishing. We're perishing in our sin. We need a Savior. We need help. And, you know, I know you know that. I know you're hearing that. I know you're sensing that. And this is your opportunity to call out to the Lord and ask him to be your personal Lord and Savior. So I'm not talking about being religious. I'm talking about having a relationship, getting to know someone by introduction. And so this is an introduction. I want to introduce you to my friend Jesus, and he wants to make himself real to you. He loves you. He loves this world, and he loves you personally. He knows how many hairs you have on your head or how few you have. He knows what color they are. He knows the color of your eyes. He knows how tall you are. He knows everything about you. The Bible says that he loves you with a perfect love. And he wants you to believe on him and have everlasting life that you can spend all eternity with him. If you would, just pray this simple prayer of faith with me. Jesus, I want to open up my heart to you. Lord, I want to have everlasting life. I want to ask that you would forgive me of all my sin. I humble myself before you, Lord. I know I need you. I know that I've fallen short and sinned in many ways, in many areas of my life. And so I ask that you would just come in and make my life new. I thank you for salvation. I thank you for everlasting life that now is mine in you. I ask that you'd fill me with your Holy Spirit, that I might walk with you and have life abundant. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
If you prayed and received the Lord into your heart today, we'd love to hear from you. You can contact us or another Bible teaching church in your area so you can be encouraged in your new journey. If you'd like more information about Living Fountains or Calvary Chapel, Kansas City, simply visit our website at calvarychapelkc.com. If you're in the Kansas City area and you'd like to join us for worship, the service times and directions can be found at calvarychapelkc.com. It's been great spending time with you today in God's Word, and we look forward to you joining us next time on Living Fountains. Jesus Christ.